So, last time I knew you, you were a youth worker for Coventry Youth of Christ. Quickly, what have you done between then and what are you doing?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I used to come here for, in Youth for Christ days when I was around about 30. I'm not quite there at the moment, you can guess. Since then, I got ordained into the Church of England in 91. I was a vicar until that was in the Diocese of Coventry. Then I moved to York Diocese until 2011. Then became a chaplain with the NHS. I worked for Warwick Hospital. I'm now working for University Hospital, Coventry and Warwickshire, in their mental health units as a chaplain. So that kind of brings you up to date.
Thank you, Steve. What such brevity from a preacher. We're looking forward to you already. When I'm visiting the hospitals, Waltrave and Warwick, there's patients from the church as well in there. I'm always very encouraged and impressed by the chaplaincy service. What does that mean in terms of the work of the mental health unit, and why is it important, do you think?
This is unrehearsed, isn't it? Yeah. I'm amazed at the chaplaincy service in the NHS. I really am. It's a sense of pinching yourself to think that we as Christians have still got a role in secular health service. The spiritual side of care is hugely important, as we all know, and we're allowed to exercise that care. It'll mean mainly a listening role. We may get referred to patients. I'll tell you a couple later. But a lot of the time, one is loitering around with intent, trusting in some way, and often this is in hindsight, that God has led you to just the right person. I've got a fund of stories of amazing ways that I believe we still see healings. I say to volunteers, you may not see miracles, but you will see healings as people just take one step forward in their lives. And often it's through the listening and the prayer of a chaplain.
Thank you very much. I've been with people I've been visiting at the Caledon Centre and different centres and John with them on services that the chaplaincies have held, and been very moved by the participation and the power of the services and an openness to God. That is the key, isn't it? So this time tomorrow, just pray for Steve. You know, in his working in life as a chaplain, as a pastor to people in need and in care. But we're just going to pray for him now as he brings God's word to us. All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reach of your kindness and your kingdom, not only as we're gathered together here, but when we're spread about in your world. And Lord Jesus, we do pray for Steve's work, Lord, as he brings it, spiritual and social, the whole human experience brought to you and into your care. Be with us as we listen to your word, to a very familiar story. Help us, Lord, to hear it and to respond to it afresh. Pour out your spirit upon our friend and minister through him, we ask. Amen. 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 Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. And just we're starting a new service on a Sunday evening at St. Michael's Hospital, the mental health unit in Warwick. That would be very grateful for your prayers. I'm just trialling it during August, the Sundays in August at 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening. You're very welcome. Could do with all the help. Thanks, Doug. It's such a trip down memory lane to come here. It really is. And it's very tempting to indulge myself with all the wonderful memories and personal links that have been so influential in my life through this church, but that would take all of my time, and we haven't got it. But it's just tremendous to see some people that go way back to that era, even back into student days, remarkably, when we were students over at Canley here. So thanks. Lovely to be here. Looking at the Good Samaritan, I want to look at three levels as we approach the story. As Doug said, so familiar, probably being taught in our schools tomorrow morning in assemblies all over the country. And that in itself is remarkable when Jesus said his words will never pass away. They're still in schools 2,000 years later. Just a couple of verses, really, that I want to make a link with later on from the Old Testament. Here we have Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 61, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. What's this to do with the Good Samaritan? You're beginning to make the link. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed and I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. Ezekiel 34, that wonderful passage about shepherds. Hosea 11, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Just in passing, if anybody ever says to you, look, the Old Testament is full of a very vengeful God, isn't it? You know, to remind them of some of these most tender, tender verses where the love of the shepherd God shines through the Old Testament. Come back to that in a bit. Three levels of the Good Samaritan. Firstly, clearly, it's about helping those in need. Clearly. Can I just blank those? Can we possibly blank them? I need them later on. Thank you. About helping those in need. That's how the story usually goes. And that was wonderful, that video from The Miracle Maker. Fabulous film. Show it to your children, The Miracle Maker. Wonderful, wonderful exploration of Jesus' ministry and life. One of the best films about Jesus that I can think of, The Miracle Maker. It's absolutely fabulous. Help those in need. That's one level that we look at. The second level I'll look at is the fact that it's got such an anti-racist message that many of us familiar with the parable are aware of. Some who perhaps haven't ever thought about it can dig slightly deeper. And it was touched on there. Samaritans throw stones at us. I spit on them. And the third level I want to look at is an interesting level. Because in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is revealing himself. He's saying in Luke 10, I'll come back to this, all things have been handed over to me by the Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Blessed are you. You've seen what the prophets long to see, as I paraphrase it. And then, the story of the Good Samaritan. My third level is Jesus, the Good Samaritan. The first level, helping those in need. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. If you know nothing about Jesus, you probably know that bit, and you may not even know it came from Jesus. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. The golden rule in many religions, although it's expressed differently. As if God's imprinted upon the human race something about being loving and kind to each other is good. It's good. And that's what Jesus said. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you take nothing else, if you start daydreaming away from this sermon now, do that next week, all right? Do something for someone else that you would like them to do for you. It's proactive. Get on with it. I'd love it if you did this for me. Oh, do it for them. Do to others. Don't be the one who passes by. I was at a church where we had somebody with quite a drug problem in the community. He used to sleep in the church toilets. And we found him there. We tried to help him. It wasn't easy, of course. And I remember once that we put him up in a travel lodge for a couple of nights to give him a decent night's sleep. That seems to me the sort of things that come from Jesus's teaching. Wonderful kindnesses throughout the whole world. Wonderful kindnesses. It's the fragrance of Jesus experienced through loving kindness. Think of what the Christians did during the Carlisle floods. Think of what the Christians have been doing through Glenfall Tower. It'll come to light of how the churches have shown such love and kindness. I recently was at the Ripple Cafe that meets on a Monday in the middle of Coventry. For those with chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, and there's a wonderful gathering called the Ripple Cafe for people suffering like that. It's staffed and it's inspired through Christians. Think of Mother Teresa in the gutter. Think of the prayers of the midwives in East London, for those who love call the midwife. Think of a tiny premature baby who was born at 23 weeks and 3 days on the very, very edge of viability. And through the love and the kindness shown, especially expressed through the neonatal ward at University Hospital and the chaplains and others, I saw that little baby who went home and is doing well, now weighing 6 pounds and is doing well. Absolutely remarkable. Mum calls her a miracle baby, and it's hard to disagree. The love and the kindness expressed, not only through Christians, but through people who show loving kindness. Do to others. Faith is active. Faith is active. As 1 Peter says, get ready for action. And you know the book of James, so practical. Go and do something with your faith. I've got faith. Well, how does it show? Loving kindness. Look, we can't all do great things for God. We can't all be Wilberforce, and we can't all be Dame Cecily Saunders, and we can't all be Martin Luther Kings. We can't all do great things, but I do know this. We can all do small things with great love. Is there anybody here who can't do that? A small thing for somebody this coming week with great love. Christians, silence the mockers. Silence them. Silence them with acts of loving kindness. They are eloquent witness to your faith. The first level, helping those in need. The second level, it's an anti-racist thing. Those listening to the story of Jesus, and he gets to the bit about the person who comes and helps, and he says it was a Samaritan. You can feel them taking an intake of breath, or perhaps their hearts were sinking. Not a Samaritan, Jesus. You could have chosen anybody. Don't choose a Samaritan for coming to do something nice for us. Deep historical tensions between the two areas of Israel that have lasted and lingered and festered, so that there were deep tensions. Trying to find an equivalent today isn't massively easy, but it's not that hard either. Probably if you went onto the streets of some areas of Belfast and you found deep tensions between Protestant and Catholic, similar heritage, same heritage originally, has gone slightly different ways. They throw rocks at us. I spit on them. I think we might find similar things in some of the East Anglian communities that have got such a high immigrant population. Those really hard Brexiteers, you know, send them all back. We want our jobs back, all that attitude. And perhaps between the Polish community and those communities. Anyway, take your racial choice. Whatever it is, Jesus is talking about racial tension in this story. A Protestant injured. the Protestant leaders pass by. It's a Catholic who stops to help. The hard Brexiteer is injured. His community passed by. It's a Polish man who stops to help. Think about the power of loving kindness, not only to silence the mockers, but doesn't loving kindness have the strength to remove stereotype and racism? Extraordinarily powerful, love and kindness in breaking down barriers. I didn't know you were like that. I thought you were all like this. It was the other one who helped, the one who wasn't like us. Those we despised, those we thought we understood, those we labeled, those we stereotyped, those we packaged, they're all the same. This is so awful. When we do that, something so deeply wrong in our makeups that groups love to group and exclude. Religion can be like that. How dreadful. Go back to your own country. Go back to your own district. Get out of here is gang warfare. And all this is shattered in the story of the Good Samaritan. By an act of loving kindness. It's shattered. It's broken. The stereotype will never have the same power again. Thank God. This week, the Sikhs at the hospital were celebrating the birthday of an 8th guru. I don't know his name, I'm afraid. But it was a great celebration, and they're great at food and meals. And in they came with their food, and I guess I was almost first in the queue. It was absolutely fabulous and fascinating to just be sharing a moment of celebration with the Sikh community. We can live in harmony with those we disagree with. We really can. We don't need to agree, but we can love. Difference can be celebrated. It doesn't need to frighten us. I see the Protestant boy, perhaps in hospital, beaten up. I see his family, bigoted family, parents. Who did this, son? Who did this? And actually, who was it who helped you? Who stopped? Who stopped to help you? Who was it? Who was it who took you to that hotel and paid a lot of money? You know, they probably paid 2 days' wages for you and stayed the night with you until your fever left. Who was it who said they'd pay the hotelier even more if necessary and they dressed your wounds? Who was it? Who did that for you? Mum, Dad. It was a Catholic. And when Jesus got to the end of the story, he said, go and do likewise. Do it. Thirdly, Jesus, the Good Samaritan. I wonder if he is revealing himself in a new way in this parable. The world beats us up. The bandits are on every corner. And you will have suffered. We all suffer. It's almost part of our journey. Pick up your cross. It's not going to be easy. If I'd had longer to elaborate on my brief biography, I could tell you of 3 years of utter desolation in the darkness of a very deep depression. It was awful, utterly dreadful. We suffer. we're bruised by our sin and the sin of others. That's what a lovely nun said to us when we were struggling through. It's our sin and the sin of others. There's such depth in that. We're bruised by relationships, by grief, so real, by illness. Stuff happens. The other day, I went onto a ward, loitering, Lord, where am I supposed to be today? Not always praying that, but just trusting. And one of the workers said to me, you might want to talk to him over there. So I made my way over and sat there, a lovely lad. Of course, I wouldn't mention his name. It's all confidential. A lovely guy. And he began to ask me, why do bad things happen to good people? You need to be prepared for that one. And actually, there's a time and a place to give answers, and there's a time and a place just to weep with people. And that was the time and place just to weep, actually, although we did get round to some deep stuff. But he told me, I'm not sure how old he was, early 20s, lovely guy, how he'd been abused as a child. It hurt. You could tell. How that had affected his sexuality, and he was mixed up. How it had affected his mental health, and I believe he's in hospital because he'd slashed his wrists recently. You might want to talk to him, said a worker. You're right. And as I sat there listening, he told me this. He said, my cousin died today. And I'm thinking, what, is this the anniversary of a death a couple of years ago or last year? No, today. He was beaten up on Monday, and I've just heard this morning that he's died today. Life hurts. Life hurts. And extraordinary that the chaplaincy could be alongside him. Someone else, a referral just this week, wanted to chat. His son had been killed 3 years ago by a hit and run. How did you get through that? It was hard. And just a month or so ago, his grandmother, with whom I think he was particularly close, had died. There's a history of schizophrenia in the family, and psychosis has suddenly come to him. Whether it's through the events or not is incredibly hard to say. But he wanted to call the chaplain. Life is hard. He wanted to know that his little three-year-old was okay somewhere with God. Jesus comes, and they're trying to make sense of who he is as before he tells this parable. Jesus comes not like us, but like us. Not actually of our group, not one of our group at all, because we're earth. And sometimes earth doesn't want heaven. No thanks, we don't want this church stuff. I'd sooner earth, thank you. My aims are earth, not heaven. You heaven people, oh, you're all heavenly minded, no earthly good, all that stuff. He comes from heaven, he's not like us. We like sin. Hopefully not too much these days as we go on in our faith. But we remember the days. We like it. It feels good, so we do it. He doesn't. He's not like us. He's from a different place. We don't want the church. His Holy Spirit begins the church. But the Ezekiel shepherd, will this come on again? Comes and he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Just sounds a bit like the person who helped. To bind up the brokenhearted, those who haven't been beaten up by bandits but beaten up by grief. So hard. So desperately hard to get through. How am I going to get through without her, him, friend, husband, wife. Life is tough. He comes to bind up the brokenhearted, to seek the lost, to bring back the strayed, bind up the injured and strengthen the weak with those cords of human kindness. That's what the parable is about. It's about kindness with ties of love. He couldn't pass by. He was tied in love. And I bent down to feed them. You shepherds of Israel, in Ezekiel 34, you've been passing by on the other side. Read the passage. These shepherds, you haven't been shepherding Israel. So I will come and shepherd you. Light, we're not sure we like you. We're more comfy in the dark. You're not one of us. You seem different. But moved with compassion, it says about Jesus so frequently, moved with compassion. And the parable says he was moved by pity. With the abundant provision, 2 days' wages he gave the guy. Look after him, and I'll pay you more when I come back. With the abundant provision of loaves and fishes for 5,000, of wine for a wedding, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, my love is abundant. Your will, not mine, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as that love is tested to its nth degree, all the way to the cross, where the pain is borne by so much love, the love of God and the love of us, which is exactly the answer the lawyer had to give. That's the fulfillment of the law. Love God, love other people. And on the cross, Jesus is performing that par excellence. He's the one who showed mercy. 1 Peter 1:19. We were bought not with gold, but with precious blood. Precious. Go away today remembering Jesus is precious. Precious Jesus. He loved us all the way to the cross. He is the Jesus who came alongside me all those years ago when I became a Christian over at the teacher training college. He's the Jesus that didn't leave me during the darkness so that I can still tell of his deeds. He's the Jesus that walked with you and walks with you and wants to walk with you if you don't know him. Is it calling to you? Have you been thinking, do I really want Jesus? Do I really want what Canley Community Church do? Am I here on sufferance today? Have I come for some reason? But actually, I'm hearing Jesus who wants to come alongside, who brings healing forever. I'm going to finish with a short prayer, encouraging anyone here today who perhaps has never actually thought of Jesus in this way, and have never realized he could be this close, that he can come as your friend, as your Lord, as your Savior, your healer, and many other titles beside. But he comes with the most abundant love, more than you have ever imagined. Open your hearts to him today. Ask him to come in. Things will never be the same again. And if you do pray that today with me, and if you've never prayed it before, please do this. Please go from here and ask a Christian what it's all about. You know Christians you look up to here. Ring them up. Doug, I prayed that prayer today. Mark, I prayed that. Karen, I prayed that. What's going on? What's going to happen? Talk to someone who knows, and they can lead you further. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your abundant love. I'm so sorry it's taken me this long to realize. Forgive me everything. Please come and live inside my heart. I want to live for you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will descend on this loving community and continue to shine with love and light throughout this region. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.